Betfair are on your side this autumn racing. Imagine what you could be buying instead. From the sporting capital of Australia. Sporting capital of Australia. It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning. Biggest sports show for your Saturday morning. Sarah Ollie, Will Rawson, and Ryan Warren. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Sun shining, it is a beautiful Saturday morning. You wouldn't be dead for quiz. This is Dead Set Legends. I'm Jack Heverin in the chair for Rabs, who's been struck down by the Gather Round flu this morning.
It's taken a few down, that
taken,
one, hasn't it?
It's taken him a week, but he's been a victim of it instead. But I am excited to be here. Sarah, Ollie, Will Ralston, thank you for having me.
Oh, Jack.
Lovely to have you here.
Of all
here.
People to come in and fill the shoes of Rabsy.
I called him the gorgeous man before, yeah. And that he is, the gorgeous, bald Jack Heverin.
We started with you. A lie. Plenty to get to on the show today. We'll talk about Friday night footy. Cal Toomey from afl.com.au, one of your great mates to join us shortly, Sarah. And we are loaded, Will, with comedians. This is going to be a very funny little show this morning.
The comedy festival's buzzing. Have you guys spent much time at the comedy festival?
Haven't been yet, actually.
There's still enough time. And we've got a few comedians that will be coming in to plug their shows. Steelbrook Jai Singer, Michael Chamberlain, Peter Hellier. So we'll have a chat to some of them and cover plenty of footy news as well, because there's a lot to come out of the last two nights, Jack.
Bombers very good last night. Yep. Bulldogs
disappointing.
Not so much.
Very disappointing. And some really awful vision with Tom Liberatore, the Dogs' perennial ball winner, going down. It looked like it could be concussion related. Cal Toomey, I'm sure, will update us with the latest year. But I just thought the Dogs, they were so disappointing. And props to Essendon, because the acid was on them all week and they really turned it around, particularly out of the centre. I liked the look of them last night, Jack.
Melbourne Storm, very good as well. Had a hard fought win over the... Gee, it's not a good morning to be a Bulldog supporter, is it, in the NRL? Better morning, unfortunately, for you're a Bombers supporter. But Bulldogs go down in the AFL. Bulldogs go down in the NRL. And got some big games coming up today. I'm at Carlton and Adelaide. I'm just kind of interested to see. This is a big acid test for Adelaide this week.
Seriously, they have to show more than they've shown in the first month. It'll be a very interesting contest, that one. I'm looking forward to it.
Meanwhile, the Blues are red hot to start the season.
And Sam Walsh is back, baby.
Yes.
So it's not going to get easier for the Crows either, who are staring down the barrel of going 0-5. And this is a side that I had coming into the eight this year. Well, doesn't look like it, does it?
Meanwhile, Sam Walsh has just spent the summer shifting a lot of tin. Have you seen the nick that Sam Walsh is in right now?
Oh, my goodness. I've seen former nicks that he's been in. No, is he looking career best?
Better than any other nick. Better than any other nick that he's been in previously. He looks sensational. Yes. Bombers, very, very good last night. 29-point winners over the Dogs at Marvel Stadium.
Friday night footy, the Bulldogs and the Bombers. Goldstein on the left. Gets the first one for the Bombers. Big start on Friday night footy. Get it back. Left foot. Goal to Stringer.
Jones, the number two. Tough kick. The Jones boys got it.
Fisted away. Gresham, this is what he does best. Thomas at the back of the pack, dropped the ball. Durham, snapping ball. Is this it for the Bombers? It is.
29-point win to the Bombers. They have the third win of the season. They move into the eight. Big win Essendon, tough loss for the Doggies.
It's one of those games where there's a big winner and a big loser out of Friday night footy.
It felt like that coming in. It felt like these two teams are unreliable at best, and one of them is going to be able to find themselves some form. And it happened to be Essendon last night. They were electric.
They were sharp. They were very, very sharp. Cal Toomey's always sharp, particularly after 10 o'clock. Pre-10 a.m., not so much, but after 10, he's in much better nick from afl.com.au. Morning, Cal.
Sharp this morning after that performance last night from the Bombers, Jack.
Contested ball was better, clearances were better, pressure acts were up. It was a good bounce back after last week.
It was. It was a completely different team in a lot of regards, wasn't it? And look, to be fair, like the first quarter last week against Port Adelaide, they matched them and then they were blown away after that. But last night, they were a better team throughout the whole game, won every quarter, won the midfield battle as well. I mean, Sam Durham and Jai Caldwell were thrown big tasks in the midfield and managed to match up pretty well against what's been a star-studded midfield group for a long time. And they've been the Bulldogs' bunnies for a long time as well. 9 of the last 10 games between the sides, the Dogs have won. Luke Beveridge has lost once to the Bulldogs previous to last night, and I think that was when Peter Wright went crazy a couple of years ago to send Essendon into the finals. But no, it was a really impressive performance from Essendon across the board, and the recruits are playing pretty well. Todd Goldstein was excellent last night. Ben McKay's had a terrific start to the season. Xavier Dersma, we saw the bow and arrow come out a couple of times. but as you say, the spotlight now goes pretty firmly onto Luke Beveridge and the Bulldogs. And what's up next for them in St Kilda next Thursday night. And you talk about the Friday night spotlight being pretty big. Well, Thursday night's just as big. And against St Kilda next week, if they drop to 2-4, then, yeah, I think there's going to be a fair bit of stuff circling around the Bulldogs. Mm.
Morning, Cal. Where are the Dogs at? Because Luke Beveridge said post-match they went into this game feeling pretty optimistic. We know he's made a few strange selection calls with Caleb Daniel and Jack McRae throughout the season. Where are they at? Because he kind of has an eye at the moment towards playing youth, and it's just, it's hard to get a read with where Luke Beveridge's side is at the moment.
It is, and it's been difficult for a couple of years, hasn't it, Sarah?
Yeah.
I mean, since that 2021 grand final and made the elimination final the year after, got knocked out and obviously haven't been back since. Look, the selection is one part of it, and Bailey Dale was the latest to be a part of that last night as a substitute All-Australian a couple of years ago. Caleb Daniels running around in the twos beforehand in front of nobody at Marvel Stadium. Mm. We know Jack McRae's been doing a bit of that as well already this year. And then they've got a number of these contract calls happening as well. We expect Jamari Ugle-Hagan to stay. Bailey Smith's been offered a deal to stay, but obviously is weighing things up, and Tim English as well as the big free agent in the pool. So they're in a list in a funny spot because we think they should be better than what we're seeing at the moment. And their two wins so far this season have come against Gold Coast at Ballarat and West Coast. And for the best part of 3 years, everybody's beaten West Coast. Mm. So you have to wonder about where the next little month looks like for them.
Cal, one of the talking points out of the game last night, we saw a worrying scene down the ground, vision of Tom Liberatore appearing to collapse in the middle of the field, and Darcy Parrish was there and he seemed extremely panicked and calling for the Dogs' medical staff to come onto the field. This is Luke Beveridge post-game addressing that incident.
He's fine. I think for some reason he lost his footing and stumbled, but he's fine. He's had a he's been looked after and there's no concussion or anything like that. So we were coming in, just making sure he's okay, and he's apparently fine. So
that's Beveridge kind of downplaying the incident. Do you have any more insight for us this morning about what that appeared to be?
Well, Tom Liberatore as well spoke about it post-game being an ankle issue, but I'm not sure about you guys, but it's rare to see someone tumble like that with an ankle issue. I'm sure there's been some more discovery over that overnight, and also looking at the incidents that Tom Liberatore was involved in late in the game. I mean, he got crunched by a big tackle from his former teammate, Jake Stringer, late in the game, but also had a sort of sliding hit from Nick Hines late in the game too. So I'm sure those two will be have a look at in terms of just if there was any head impact for those and what the fallout is there. But I think following the vision and broadcast vision coming to light, and you know that post-game in the rooms, there's a lot happening. So, and that was pretty late in the piece too. So that with time and reflection, there might be some more discovery around where that looks today.
So Cal, from a Bombers point of view, where are they? What does last night tell us? I mean, they were caught well short the week before against Port Adelaide. There's no hiding that. But where have you got them in the scheme of the season now?
It's funny, Jack. It'll take us back 5 weeks. If you started the season at Essendon with 3-2, you'd probably say that's about right, losing to Port Adelaide on the road and Sydney on the road. They're funny because they played really well against the Swans a couple of weeks ago, a red-hot Sydney side up at the SCG, and did pretty well, but we were blown out in the last quarter. Apart from that, they've been pretty strong, apart from the Port Adelaide game. So, look, for me, when they're fit and healthy and they have a really good level of depth to their squad, they're a team somewhere between 6 and 10 at the moment, which is pretty solid spot for a side that's, you know, still one of the bottom four in terms of age and experience across the competition. But the depth has been an issue with the injuries in recent times. They didn't let that be an issue last night. So hopefully that's a step forward in terms of not having to rely on the same players week in, week out. But no doubt they'd be stronger and I think more of a chance to be competitive with those top six teams if Jordan Ridley was playing and a couple of their other injured players at the moment were in.
Cal, you mentioned the recruits and Xavier Dersimer. I thought it was his best outing as a Bomber so far. But you have an eye to the draft always. This is something that you and Riley Beveridge talk about on Gettable and afl.com.au. And you think that Xavier Dersimer's younger brother could potentially be a top pick. Can you tell us about him?
Yeah, the fourth in line, Willem.
Not bad.
he's in the draft next year. So obviously we've got Xavier's 2018 draft, first round pick. Zane last year was a top five pick to North Melbourne. And Yaz, of course, was drafted by Port Adelaide, now the Blues. So, look, Yeah, Willem's on fire, to be honest. He's a bit of everything. I saw him play a couple of weeks ago. He's, next year's draft, he's a key back who was playing on the wing, playing a bit of forward as well, kicked a banana goal. He's actually a really elite basketballer as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of talent in the family, X, Y, Z, and then W. But, yeah, Willem is on track to be a top five pick next year, and I think he's definitely in contention for the number one pick. Long way to go, but like an early call.
It's a fair bit of good genetics in the Dersma family. Oh,
wow. And covering the alphabet, or the bottom half of the alphabet.
End, yeah. Good game of Scrabble, that one. Cal, thanks for joining us, as always. Appreciate your time.
There you go.
Thanks, Cal.
Cal Toomey joining us from AFL.com.au. Anyone else got that much talent in their family? I know there's not much happening on my side of things.
4 from 4. I don't know if we're one. I'm none from two.
Oh, it's amazing. Good footy stocks.
I am very happy to be here this morning, so thank you for having me. And being around you two has given me a really nice pump up because I just got a coffee before the show started this morning.
Don't name them because I have a feeling they're in trouble.
Wow. When you charge $7.50 for a coffee, you're not getting that.
No, that's outrageous.
What has happened to the cost of coffee in this city?
What is your coffee order, for starters?
That was just a standard almond latte. That's all it was.
Pretty steep, isn't it?
Yeah, because that's not a particularly special coffee. I was expecting there was going to be 10 extra words.
No. There's no splash of caramel and all that sort of thing.
You're in trouble if you want multiple coffees, aren't you?
Well, I'm glad I didn't send a message to the group chat and say, is anyone else want one?
I forgot to do that. I feel mortified. I walk back in and Sarah and I cross paths and she clearly wants a coffee.
I want a coffee.
I'm just here with my own.
You feel bad. I saw her in the hallway as I'm walking in with one. She's like, I'm just going out to get a coffee. I'm like, God, I'm the fill-in and I didn't even ask if anyone wants a coffee. My goodness
useless.
Me.
Tell you who isn't useless. The Melbourne Storm. Good segue. Because they are on fire.
Craft.
That is craft. Absolute craft. Big win over the Bulldogs. 16-14. That was at Amy Park last night. Ryan Pappenhausen scoring in the first 2 minutes. What a juggernaut this club is. I think this city takes it for granted.
Yes.
It's a team that is always there or thereabouts. Swans-esque, as we've discussed in the past. Just a club in enemy heartland that continue to show up and dominate every single time they take the field.
What about Craig Bellamy too, Sarah? Like when the history of great Australian sports coaches is going to be written, Craig Bellamy's got to be up there with arguably the best of all time, regardless of sport, doesn't he?
Well, what's their record under Craig? They've never lost the opening round, is that right? Like, they're just so consistent. I see him walking around these parts of Melbourne occasionally. He's a fit-looking bugger, Craig. He's still in good tip-top shape, but he's just been incredible. That's my take.
And the Masters, Jack, we've just seen the second round complete over there at Augusta. I think the major story will be Tiger Woods.
I reckon so. Making the cut, which is phenomenal.
Back to 18. There you go. Steadies himself. Gets up and down for another scrambling par. And he has now the all-time consecutive cut record at Augusta. All to himself. 24 consecutive cuts made at Augusta.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Is it a good effort that he's even walking the course?
Honestly.
It looks like a tough walk.
You described it as a hilly course.
I said it looks hilly.
For a 48-year-old man, after a major car accident, to be able to walk that course, let alone make the cut for a 24th consecutive time, it's a phenomenal record. We should acknowledge that our boy Cam Davis is currently tied fifth. He is 3 under par and 3 shots off the lead. So in striking distance, we could have another Masters winner from Australia, which would be very exciting.
Bryson DeChambeau looking pretty good at this stage. You know who could walk the Augusta course?
Who?
Craig Bellamy.
Oh, or Sam Walsh.
Sam,
extraordinary nick.
Even though I've said that he's in the best nick of his life and that photo was from 3 years ago. As Chopper Reed said, never let the truth get in the way of a good yarn.
My grandma says that too.
Does she really?
Yeah. This is Chopper. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Jack Heverin filling in for Rabs with Sarah and Will. Dirok Jaya seeing up one of the stars of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. He'll be joining us soon.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Three legends, one show. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Sarah, Will and Rabs. Triple M.
Will?
Yes.
The new team coming in, Tasmania in the AFL.
Yep.
There's a few parts to the puzzle that they still have to get right. And the big one, of course,
The stickers?
It's the song.
Oh, the song. The stickers. My sticker's on its way. Did you guys get foundation memberships?
No.
$10? No. Oh, I'm a sticker guy, as you can see from my
You are indeed, actually.
I can't after the coffee, can I?
So I am a foundation member, and I think with that responsibility comes I feel like I have an opinion on the club song.
Sure.
Because that's one of the parts of the puzzle, as you just said, that they haven't worked out yet. We have seen the foundation jumper, and that may change over time. But the song is so pivotal and so iconic for a club that is entering the competition. We've had two clubs enter in the last 15 years. One has the best song in the competition and has had a lot of success.
And which one's that?
Of course, the Giants, the big, big sound. Do you have that there, Laurie?
Yes. It's
worth the sound from the west of the town. It's the sound. And you can see how this team made a grand final. It's made proof.
Based on the song.
Meanwhile, up the road, you have the Gold Coast, who have a song that neither of you, I think, even know any of the lyrics to.
Do not know the lyrics.
Yeah, it's got a faint trumpet sound at the start, then it kind of disappears. So we need to get Tassie right, I think, from a song perspective. And this might be something we do over the next few weeks as we try and come up with things, the beats that they need to hit, the references they need to make, what kind of tune we need. Do we want something that sounds a bit more Soviet Union as Moscow. Are there any references to Tasmania that you think we should be? Is there like a Salamanca market that might get a shout out? Are we thinking Mona, that particular wall that people like to see when they go down to the galleries there? Do you guys have any suggestions?
I feel like you've run dry after those two.
Where do we go after that?
There's a Launceston.
The Spirit.
The Spirit. That perhaps they lean into the spirit angle as they delve into their song. It could be the spirit of Tasmania.
So are you going to come up with some lyrics here or?
That's what I'm hoping. And then we can perhaps go towards AI and see if they can help us out. If you have any suggestions, 133353 on Triple M, please help out with references you think they should make in the Tasmanian song. There's the famous brewery down there. I think the oldest brewery in Australia, the Cascade Brewery. I mean, it would be weird for that to get a shout.
Depends if they're sponsoring or not, I suppose. Yeah. Then it could count. You've got to get the golf course in.
Yeah. You've been part of the Jack Jumpers' recent success. Of course, you were down there calling it all the action in the NBL. Do you think they have harnessed the energy of the local Tasmanian crowd perfectly?
Have they ever? Yeah. Scott Roth, the coach, could have just about won the state election a few weeks ago, I think. They've captured Tasmania. And I actually think to the point where it's going to be a challenge for the AFL team coming in, although they play in different seasons, to try and emulate what the NBL team have done in terms of winning over the entire state. It's not Hobart's team. It's not Launceston's team. Jack Jumpers are Tasmanian's team.
Well, going with your theory about the song being very imperative, I mean, do they have a good song?
They do. Leroy. No, you haven't got it. Tell me that bloody good.
We'll try and hear it next. But if you have a suggestion, 133353, what Tasmania should do with their song, because it's the last piece of the puzzle, I'd love to hear it.
What about a band? Can we throw a band up there who should be part of the song as well?
We saw Birds of Tokyo recently with West Coast. That wasn't as well received.
Well, I think they've sacked it now.
Yeah, unfortunately, RIP. The Birds of Tokyo, so sorry if they're listening.
Probably too soon to bring that one up, I reckon.
Damien from Lang Lang is on the line. Damo, what do you think should be referenced or used as inspiration for the Tassie song?
Good morning, boys. How are we this morning?
And girl, sorry.
Spirit of Tasmania is my go.
Nice.
So the spirit, the boat, Spirit of Tasmania.
Of course, the ferry. And it taps into the spirit of Tasmania.
Yes, so we're going to get
the
word spirit out. Spirit is good. We can work with spirit, I think.
It might be trademarked, but let's just ignore them for now. Damien in Bayswater, what have you got for us, mate?
Yeah, I think you need a tune that bops along and is easy for the boys to sing. So you go to the Dancing Frog from Warner Brothers, you know, hello, my baby, hello.
Nice.
So something that bops along the old border hill.
Nice.
You know, the hard ball is out, as I are watching us, we fly higher, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, Damien, hello.
You didn't just make that up on the spot, did you, Damo?
Yeah.
Well, mate, we need Damien on a brainstorm.
Needs to get in touch with Damien. Yeah.
We had Sam in Ferntree Gully. What have you got for us, Sam?
Hi, guys. I was thinking We Are Family by the Sister Sledge. Yeah, okay.
Don't mind
I thought we might get into this sort of territory.
Someone had
to say it.
What do you mean?
This is a tune. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, this is a good tune.
They can't just sing this.
You can't, though.
In the sheds. We Are Tassie.
Yeah.
Now we're thinking. Sherv, Watsonia.
Yeah, I was thinking brothers and sisters unite, two heads forward we fight. Wait, there's a second verse to this too.
Oh, good.
Here, if your cousin causing a ruckus, pretty sure they're going to try and F us.
Okay.
It's going so well until the second verse.
It's fine. I think that's time we call it.
You think so?
I think we call it.
Topics roster was going so well then too.
The golf course.
Oh, we were flying.
It is the Melbourne Comedy Festival at the moment. Mm. Have you guys been getting along?
Not yet.
Well, maybe.
It's not done yet, though.
Maybe you can get along to a Dilruk show. Dilruk is in the studio. He's got pre-loved at the moment. Dilruk, welcome.
Thank you so much, mate. We've got one more week of the Comedy Festival left. It's been 3 weeks. Come on, Wills. Where's the love?
That's Jack.
You know what I mean? Hang on. That's Jack? Which one's Will?
That's Jack.
That's Jack.
On the ball one.
Yeah. All you white people look alike to me. What can I say?
No, we
sorry, Jack. Yeah, Jack. So what? Not gone to a single show yet.
Can you get me a babysitter? How do you go with babysitting?
Well, I'm good at vasectomies. That's making good retrospective.
It's hard in this industry when you're working, because being on the Marty Sheargold show and then you have comedian friends of his that come in and being able to say, oh, I've been busy is so not an excuse when there's like 30 available days that
sure.
you can possibly pop in.
I also do get it. You know what I mean? School holidays for one thing, right? And then that's a big problem for parents to find babysitters, because also it's like you're going for an hour worth of comedy, but you have to like block out, what, 3 hours, you know, to get there, find maybe get some dinner and all of that. So I'm on your side, mate.
Thank you.
I'll send you an audio of the show.
Tell us about the show, though, Pre-Love.
Yeah, well, the show, to be honest, I wanted it to be cheaper and upbeat and stuff, because I always talk about how, like, where my life's been at. Mm. So, like, a couple of years ago, I talked about how I got in a relationship for the first time. Then last year was about how I had a heart attack. So this year, I wanted a bit more uplifting. I thought it might be about an engagement, but unfortunately, my girlfriend and I broke up, which is, you know, awful for her and me, but great news for so many lucky ducks out there, because the line of women who want to be with a man who had a heart attack under the age of 40, oh, it's just huge. And he doesn't even stop there. I got a back issue as well. I got a disc extrusion, which means when I sneeze, I have to brace my core. So imagine just like how many women just turned on by a man going, but also if I strain too hard, my inguinal hernia pops out. Honestly, like the Tinder profile just really sells itself right now. And yeah, after all that rigmarole, you get to wake up next to a man who has a sleep apnea mask. So really, I'm here to not plug the show, just my dating profile, if anyone wants to.
You must be beating him off with a stick at the moment, aren't you?
Well, part of that sentence is true.
So where is your show this year? What's your venue?
It's at the Lower Town Hall, which is a very special venue for me for two reasons. One, because I did get my citizenship at that very stage, which is very cool from the Lord Mayor at the time. And also because my second ever stand-up show that I saw was live, that I watched, was seeing Will Anderson at that very stage, which actually is the day that I was like, I hope I can do that one day. And then, it's a nice little full circle moment, 15, 16 years later to be on the same stage.
That's great.
Which also sounds like an insult to Will, because I was watching him going, I can do that.
And you're a Hawks man?
I am a Hawks man. We were talking about that before. I didn't think we were going to bring it up because you saw me nearly crying as you brought up the Hawks. But as I discussed, look, for me, I have no complaints with the Hawks. I will love them forever because, I mean, I came to Australia in 04, and I had to pick a team. But I decided to make it all Victorian-based because, I live in Melbourne. Yeah. And I thought Geelong's a bit too far. And then it just came down to, the mascots, colours, the team names. And because I came from a Sri Lankan civil war, I was like, well, the Bombers are out. I can't go for them. And that also rules out the Tigers, So that kind of just slowly kept chipping away. But really what happened is one of my best mates, Al, he was such a mad Hawks fan, but he would actually take me to games and be like, oh, that's Crawford, that's, whoever else was playing at the time. And I'd, get on board. And Trent Crowd, I remember that, the glistening ties.
Oh, yes.
And then, And so then he just sort of got hooked in. And then 07 onwards, we just had such a great trot that I was at all three grand final wins in a row, at live at the game. I have a nice photo of me and Hodgie with the when he took some photos with the fans and stuff. So for me, even if they're wooden spooners for the rest of my life, I'm fine with it. You know what I mean? But I would love a win. I've been to a couple of games this year and, geez, it's not fun to hear the other team's song.
I was gonna say, what's going on with them now then?
Man, I have no clue. We're rebuilding. that's the official party line. And look, we're going to win. That's how I always think.
Just on a more serious note, because this is about...
Not the heart attack
or breakup. And the heart attack.
Or the Tinder profile. Or...
Yeah.
Just with the heart attack, what were the symptoms? How did you know you were having one?
So to be honest, I was just at my desk during the comedy festival in 2022, and I had a little pinch in my left arm, and I thought, just probably went too hard at, with the dumbbells. But then I realized I haven't been to the gym in 6 months, so it's probably not those delayed onset muscle soreness kicking in 6 months later. My fault for not doing my 6 month cool down, you know what I mean? But I then thought I'll get checked out because my mom and dad both have had heart attacks. Yeah. And the ECG, everything pointed towards that me being fine and this is psychosomatic. And that's what the doctor actually said. It's probably psychosomatic. Mm. And then they said, we'll do some blood tests to be on the safe side. And sure enough, the blood test came with, things pointing towards a heart attack. And the following day, we did this test where you see what's happening inside. And there was an 80% block in an artery that they were very lovely, kind to tell me is nicknamed the Widowmaker. And look, we put a stent in and I'm fine. But it's a weird feeling, though, because it's like, I'd gotten healthy. I quit drinking 8 years ago, lost a lot of weight, started running marathons and all of that. And I know it's the exercise that kept me going and alive. It's inspired the block that kept pumping. But it's hard not to feel like you're let down. And the doctor was quite interesting because he said, a lot have to do with the fact that where you're from, because a lot of brown people have thinner arteries compared to white people.
Is that right?
I didn't think at first. I was like, what kind of Hitler eugenics is this? And then turns out he's right. Yeah, brown people have thin arteries compared to white people. Honestly, is there no end to white privilege? Like, just give us one win that isn't cricket-based. That'd be great.
I'm not even sure how you follow that up, to be honest.
I'll leave that for the keeper. But Dilrooks, obviously one of the superstars of the comedy festival this time around. You'd probably know him from Utopia. You've been on that. How many seasons have you been part of Utopia?
I was three seasons. Five they've had in total, and I joined in from season three. And it's one of those dream gigs because I was a fan of the show before actually getting cast on it. So that my biggest challenge, just not in stand-up, not just in TV, but anything I do, including stand-up, is to try and be a colleague and not a fanboy, because I am basically a fanboy who scammed his way onto the other side of the microphone and camera, So like when I first saw Kitty Flanagan as the character Rhonda, I was at my desk meant to be acting and I was like, oh my God, Rhonda is here, and I was like, oh, no, hang on, this is Kitty Flanagan. It's fine. She's a mate, but it's hard for me to not be this cheesy earnest person because I can't believe that I get to do what I do,
It's very good. Did you always want to do it?
I reckon since I saw Eddie Murphy's stand-up when I was like 10 years old, I mean, that's how big that special was. It made its way to Colombo, Sri Lanka, and I'd memorized the whole routines. And so a lot of the words, to be honest, I didn't know what they meant. And I would pull them out in front of my Muslim mom and Buddhist dad, and they're like, where did you learn that? Eddie Murphy, the Beverly Hills Cop guy. It's fine.
Well, the best way to see the comedy festival, in my opinion, is to go into the city and see two shows in the one night so that getting your bang for your buck. Do you have a recommendation?
I reckon say go see someone you want to, you bought a ticket for, someone you know off the telly or whatever, but then just take a punt on someone new. Nice. And of the new pieces that are out there, I love. There's two Brons that I really admire, Bron Lewis and Bronwyn Cuss. They're both great stand-ups, but also there's a showcase show called Brown Women Comedy. So it's a bunch of really great South Asian women doing 10 minutes each. Checking them out as well. So this, to be honest, there's just something for everybody. Yeah. You just have to have a flick through the guide. Actually, but go to the ticketing booth or the info booth and they can really guide you towards what you want. You know what I mean? So it is to me, it's my favorite time of the year. Obviously not for Jack or Will or whatever the hell his name is, but... He's got fatherly duties, apparently. Doesn't want to abandon his children like normal people.
Dilrook's new stand-up comedy show, Pre-Loved, is at the Melbourne Comedy Festival until the 21st of April. So still time for us get in and go and watch a show and go and take a punt on someone else as well. Dilrook, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Dean. We really appreciate it.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Three legends, one show. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Sarah, Will and Rabs. Triple M.
No swans this weekend, Sarah. What are you going to do with yourself?
I've got a lot of free time. Got 3 hours up my sleeve, don't I? No swans. It is nice, though, because you can't lose.
Yep.
You can't win, but you can't lose. And sometimes, Jack, that's all you need.
As I've been saying with Leroy, who is in the panel seat this morning, we're a couple of Lions card-carrying Nuffies.
You're tragic. And
who's a bigger Nuffie out of you two?
Oh,
it's pretty
it'd be a good contest, actually.
Yeah, you're total Nuff, Leroy, let's be honest.
If we had a quiz, it'd be interesting. Definitely.
Very interesting.
We could do that one day, actually.
Once the Thursday night win is out of the way, you can just relax. It's just sit and steer, foot off the accelerator.
Bask in the glory of the
win. Bask in the glory. And you have a different sense of self when you wake up on a Friday morning and you've won on the Thursday. You hop out of bed. It reminds you of how good footy is.
It's the best, particularly when your team wins, not so much when they lose. Hey, the awesome Pete Halley is going to join us in the studio later on this hour. We've also got the Triple M Dead Set Legends power rankings here, Will. What's coming up? Yeah,
I think
it's your idea.
Will?
So, athlete signature moves. Ooh. We'll start with AFL. We've got the Harley Reid, Dustin Martin matchup, which will just be one of the great fend-off battles of all time. We'll see if anyone can top the Dustin Martin, don't argue, as the best power move in the AFL.
That's coming up a little bit later on.
We have, from the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, Michael Chamberlain, who has his show, The Completely Incomplete History of Australian Rules. Chambo, welcome.
What a pleasure to be here.
Hello.
What a delight to be here on a pleasant Saturday morning.
You sold out this show in 2023.
Mate, sold out.
Couldn't get a ticket.
Standing ovations got annoying after a while. It's like, sit down. It's the fifth time during the show.
Then you're back this year, and it is a show about Australian football, obviously.
It's a history of Australian rules. So I cover about 175 years in about 52 minutes. So it goes all the way back into the early life of Tom Wills, who's invented the game, and he's basically Australia's version of Forrest Gump. Like, he shows up in all these weird little historical scenarios. Like, genuinely, like, I give about five facts about him near the top of the show, and there was a lady the other day when I kind of gave the big one, almost like the kind of, oh my God, no one knows that. And this lady's gone, are you joking? I was like, no, seriously, I'm not making this up. And then go through the start of the VFL, the VFA, the teams that come in, like, for example, your team, the Lions. So obviously they were the Bears, became the Lions. One of my favourite seasons to talk about is the 1916 season, where Fitzroy won the flag. And they're the only team to win the flag from last spot.
Yep.
And one of the reasons for that is that there are only four teams in the competition, right? So you guys had a blinder of a final series and you won the flag and you beat Carlton, who finished eight games ahead of you at the end of the home and away season, which raises the question, Carlton fans, how many bribes did the Carlton players take that day to throw the game? The first time in history that a Carlton player was paid in a brown paper bag, a rich tradition that would continue for the next 85 years. And so then, say you're a Swan, so you played in the 45 Bloodbath Grand Final against Carlton at Princes Park, and you went down that day. It was basically fights from the second quarter to the end of the game. And one of the star players for the Swans that time is a guy called Ted Whitfield. Now, he was a bit of a Stevie J type of character, like march to the beat of his different drum. And his pre-match routine was to drink six beers before the game. And then he'd have another two at halftime.
Wow.
And then presumably a kebab at three-quarter time. But he was a bad boy that day, so he got suspended. Five players got suspended for eight games or more. He got suspended for 15 months because he attempted to strike a goal umpire. And then he got reported for adopting a fighting stance to a goal umpire. And he got reported for time-wasting. Nasty boy. And then he got reported. When the umpire tried to report him, he lifted up his jumper to cover the number. And then Ted's defence, and that's a reportable offence apparently, and Ted's defence is that he was lifting up the jumper because he thought he heard the final siren and he wanted to switch jumpers with a Carlton fan. A little problem with that, it was the third quarter. So, so Jack, you don't have a team. I'll give you two teams. University. Okay, so they're
one
in the
of
league.
My favourites.
They're in the league for 7 years. They were like the Gold Coast Suns of the early 1900s. They were a bit shit, but it wasn't entirely their fault because in order to play for university, you either had to be studying at a university or have a university degree. Agree, because when I think footballers, I think commitment to education. There's one, I won't give their name, but one footballer did once say, I can kick with my left foot, I can kick with my right foot. I suppose you could say, I'm amphibious. So that's what we're dealing with. But I'll give you the Public Service Football Club as well. The Public Service Football Club. In 1925, when Hawthorn and the Bulldogs and Kangaroos came in, they thought about having the Public Service Football Club. So it'd be a team made up of postmen and the guy who works the ATO.
Garbage.
We're garbage. We could have had politicians. So we could have had Dictator Dan running off a halfback flank.
There'd be a few pretty keen to iron him out, I would have thought.
You see the injury report in the paper, it would say Dictator Dan out, indefinite, stairs. So there's a whole wealth of stuff. Oh. There's some really cool stuff, fascinating stuff. The best thing is, like, even if you don't get a laugh, but you can see the people in the crowd and they go, wow. Or they go, really? Like, yeah. I've just seen people react to the stuff that I didn't know myself.
It's all true, though. It's all true.
It's all true. It's all true.
What was your research process?
I read a lot of books, and that's what I say at the start of the show. I say I'm a comedian. I'm not a historian, okay? Yep. I'm a comedian. I actually messed up one day. I said, I'm a historian, not a comedian. I was like, oh, no, that's not the message. But yeah, a lot of books, dark corners of the internet, finding out fascinating things, and even little memories. Like, I remember there's a fun fact I found out. You got to come and see the show to find out this fact, but just reading Dermot Broughton's book when I was 12. He has a story in there, and I was like, oh, yeah, I can bring that into the show.
Is that appropriate for a 12-year-old?
Well, that's actually...
Depends which story they said.
Well, actually, that's one thing you say. One thing you say. Actually, one interesting thing. I didn't even think about this when I was writing the show. I had the idea for it. But actually, 12-year-olds come along and 83-year-olds come along. Yeah. Like, there's a real wide range of people. And then they want to tell you their stories afterwards. Like, a guy came last show about a week ago. He was telling me he played for Woodville and Port Adelaide in the Sandville. Mm. And he left Woodville because he had a rather hearty argument with Malcolm Blight. And he said he got traded to Woodville and the guy got traded to Port, went on to play 8 premierships. And he's like, ah, just out.
Hey, what happened to the Los Angeles Crocodiles?
Los Angeles Crocodiles, so they were wealthy businessmen from the 1980s. So they came, they proposed a team, a Melbourne team would relocate to LA. Remember that time frame, the 1980s, a lot was happening in the 1980s. They wanted to play at the LA Coliseum, which had a capacity of 100,000 people. So they were quite ambitious.
Is that the Olympic?
It is the Olympic venue, yeah. So they wanted to do that. And then they had things like clauses in their submission saying, in keeping with the Australian theme, players would wear a Cobra hats around Rodeo Drive.
Yes.
But we laugh. Like, I love the idea now of a team in LA. And think of the players who would want to go with Vegas, just a one-hour flight away. Team captain of the LA Crocodiles, Dustin Martin, vice captain, Jordan DeGoey, super coach, Campbell Brown, and a board made up of the entire West Coast Eagles premiership team from 2006. Love it.
Outstanding. Michael Chamberlain, the completely incomplete history of Australian rules. It goes up until the 21st of April, which is next Saturday. Plenty of time. The Cooper's in the city.
Next 2 Saturdays and Sundays.
Beautiful. Highly recommend if you are looking for a show these coming weekends. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks,
Chamber.
Thanks, Chamber. Triple M's Dead Set legend Sarah, Will and Jack in the chair for Ryan, who is at home. He's just texted me to say he's enjoying the sound of the show. So, Rabs, just rest up, please.
Yeah, get well, mate. Yeah.
Although, if we're sounding good, Rabs, maybe just...
Maybe you've got the ass, Rabs.
Right.
And how stunning Jack is. Yeah, what happened to gorgeous? You've dropped that after an hour, didn't you?
Gorgeous Jack.
Power rankings.
Yes.
So this is something our producer Rudy wanted to bring to the table, and I really like it. So Dustin Martin is going to be taking on Harley Reid, and it might be the handing over of the baton of the fend-off, which I think people would accept that Dustin Martin's argue is... the preeminent one in the history of the game that I've ever seen personally in my days of watching footy. So I think the Dustin Martin fend-off is one of the best power moves we've seen in footy. And we wanted to bring it to the table. Power rankings. Can we build a top 5? So I have some examples. Join in when you've got any that you can think of. I think the Pendles fake handball, his ability to just pretend that he's going to give the ball off and make time stop, I think is iconic to Scott Pendlebury.
Yes, I like that.
We have the Matthew Lloyd grass throw.
Oh, iconic.
Can I throw one next to that?
Of course.
The Matt Rowell grass heat?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's iconic.
Again, we haven't seen many players attempt it.
No. It's got to go. It fits the bill really nicely here.
The Ben Brown run-up.
Run-up. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's what we're thinking.
Yeah.
I like it.
The Buddy Arc?
The Buddy Arc. Yes. Anything they have to build a rule to discourage or to change the way that the game is umpired, I think fits perfectly in this mold. So that would mean that Toby Green studs up scissor kick becomes iconic to Toby Green.
Yeah, I like that.
The Selwood shrug.
Or the Ginnivan shrug.
Or the Ginnivan shrug. Ooh. He's passed the baton, as we were just saying before. I think that is iconic. What are we thinking ranking-wise? Are we...
Well, I think the Dusty Fendoff is still, for me, probably number one. We actually had Kel Toomey on before from afl.com.au, and in describing Harley Reid's Fendoff, he's called it the EFO, the effective Fendoff, because he thinks that no one he's ever seen coming through has been better at
it. What's he called it, the EFO?
The EFO.
Only Kel could nerd it up like
an
that.
An effective Fendoff, I know. But, God, it's going to be fun on Sunday, isn't it, watching Harley and Dusty go, hopefully, head-to-head. What do you think about the power rankings, though?
I also like the Dustin Fletcher barrel. I think, was there a better export of the barrel?
Maybe Ben Graham. Dustin Fletcher's is very good. What about the stutter steps?
Yes.
So you got the Josh Kennedy stutter step for goal, which, isn't it funny how a lot of these movements now, there's a new generation of, so we've got like the Ginnivan shrug and obviously the fend off. Because now Jesse Hogan is sort of really wandering into Josh Kennedy's stutter step territory.
Hey, it's working for him, though, isn't it? Mm.
Yeah.
He's
and
on
then
fire.
Harry Mackay has taken his stutter out of his kicking routine.
True.
And it appears to be working for him. Jeez, goal kicking. Fascinating art. Not for me to wander into. The Wayne Carey waddle written down.
Waddle.
Dermy had a strut of sorts.
Yes, still does.
Yeah.
To this very day. Yeah.
I like it. We have Peter Hellier coming up soon, by the way, so he'll be joining us very shortly on Triple M's Dead Set Legends as we look towards the Comedy Festival, still going for another week. I encourage everyone to try and get a ticket.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Three legends, one show. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Sarah, Will and Rabs. Triple M.
This is how Triple M called it on Thursday night.
Round five starts tonight at the home of footy for the Demons and the Lions.
Awkward one for the defender, mate. Dropped it, Kyle Lowe picked it up and then slid it home. Almost under the legs of Jacob B.
McCluggage steps through the traffic. First attempt, he couldn't score. Ball ricochets back onto his boot. He can do whatever he likes, Hugh McCluggage. Stolen by Cameron, 15 metres out.
Leroy.
Pitched it and goal. They simply had to win Brisbane, and they handle their business. 22-point winners at the MCG.
Oh, just a bit of me time for Jack Efferon.
Actually, forgot I called that game, to be honest.
Sounding beautiful, though.
Oh, thanks.
But Brisbane's back against the wall. Of course, they were looking at the prospect of being 1-4,
yeah,
which would have been, I don't know, season over feels dramatic, but it was not far off.
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Having lost two of those games at home. We know that you can only lose about 7 to make the top 4. And they've already banked 3 of those losses, the Brisbane Lions. So it was a really significant win at a venue they obviously struggle at. But I thought they played a flawless game of football.
All their best players play well too. Yeah. So Josh Dunkley stepped up. Lockie Neal stepped up. I don't know if you would put Cam Rayner in their best players category, but he stepped up massively as well. Joe Danaher and Hipwood were good earlier. It kind of just felt like whether that was Chris Fagan or the leadership, whatever it was, it just felt like they were up for that game from the very start, and they played that way.
You're a massive Lions fan, Will, as we know. What did you like most about the performance?
I just think it was a tackling performance that I hadn't seen in the Chris Fagan era. Not that it was a team that isn't hard at the ball, but it wasn't the Brisbane Lions brand over the last few years when they've had really successful late September finishes. It was a ferociousness that just meant that the stars of the Demons, Petrarca and Viney and Oliver, they all looked a little bit off and a little bit hesitant. And I just think every tackle stuck when it had to. I just think it was a performance that could almost set up a mid-season surge, because now there's some tough games coming up, but they're all winnable for this team, I think. So Geelong at home next week and then the Giants in Canberra. If they can pinch one of them, all of a sudden things don't look as gloomy as they did about 2 weeks ago.
Well, what did you make of the D's performance, Jack? You were calling it.
I wouldn't panic. No, yeah. they're still a very good team, the Demons. They won 4 in a row after being pretty ordinary on opening night. They've been up for, Isaac Smith said it in the call, they've been up for a month and a bit now.
Yeah.
They've got the bye coming up. I think in some respects, Brisbane might have got them at the right time.
Yeah,
so I think they're fine, Melbourne. I still think they're a really good team.
Right for the picking, I think. They had 3 games in 13 days, spent the week in Adelaide.
Yep.
They were up for that, had the bye coming up. And then losing Salem early didn't help. So there is a bit of fallout, Sarah, injury-wise.
Clayton Oliver is the big one.
Yeah.
So he's going to probably miss the next game because he's going to have surgery on that finger. He's been wearing a glove. I mean, he's a player that I think kind of looks like he needs the week off as well. Of course, he had a very interrupted preseason, which is well documented. But I think you're right. I think the D's, certainly not panic stations
at all.
I think they'll be more than okay.
What do we think about Charlie Cameron? So at this stage, has a week for his tackle on Jake Lever. Can go to the tribunal to try and beat that. And normally when you go to the tribunal, you win.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Honestly, it felt, in the moment, it felt 50-50. You could see it going either way. Brisbane's not a club that typically deals with the tribunal all that often. What do you guys think? It's a coin flip for mine.
I think... They might find it hard to get him off because I think if you look at what's happened this year and the precedents that have been set, players aren't really getting off for these tackles anymore. It's bad timing for Charlie because as we've heard during the week, he had a really strange preseason with surgeries on his teeth, and Chris Fagan explained that for his slow start to the season, and he looked to have really found his spark and energy and pizzazz the other night. So
he was up the ground a bit more.
Yeah. So it's untimely for him, but I just think that they're policing tackles very differently this year, aren't they?
17 players last year got suspended for that dumping tackle kind of motion. So it's, you know, there's sometimes there's rule of the week. This is something, though, that's a bit more than that now, I think, with the AFL. Well, I think they're pretty serious about this type of tackle.
As soon as the head hits turf, you really feel like you're in trouble. It's just the grading of the force, I imagine, might be the only way they can get out of it. Yeah, but we'll see. It's an important loss, particularly playing Geelong in the next week. So we'll see what happens if the Lions challenge that one.
Speaking about Geelong, they're playing North Melbourne tomorrow down there at the Category. Category. Does that just smell a little bit off to you, that game?
What are you trying to say, Sarah?
I'm just nervous about it.
Are you suggesting a pumping?
I am nervous about it.
Standing room only.
We know that back line for North is just, it's very undermanned, and they're coming up against Tom Hawkins and Jeremy Cameron. One of those two is going to have a field day, I reckon.
I think Tom Hawkins might be the one tomorrow.
Rubbing his hands.
He's big, he's strong, and he's in good form. Yeah. They've got no one that can go with him.
No, we saw the combination of Hipwood and Danaher, you know, taking hold of that back line. It's undersized. It's, unfortunately, I worry about North Melbourne because they have upside. They have a lot of potential in that young team. So hopefully it's not the bloodbath that Sarah's alluding to.
Pete Hellier in the studio with us, one of our absolute favourites. And well, this is your sort of show, Pete, because we have a laugh and we talk a lot of footy. Good to see you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
What's going on with you? Melbourne International Comedy Festival in full flight at the moment. Most of those commitments are taken care of for you.
Yeah, I did a solo show, Pete Hellier Gives Zero Flips. We sold that out for 10 or 11 shows. So thanks to everyone who came along to that. But I'm not done yet. There's one more show to do. It's a live podcast recording of my movie podcast, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
Now, I read a little bit about this. Tell us more.
So I interview a movie lover about a classic movie they've never seen. So over the time I've done, Tony Martin had never seen Top Gun. Judith Lucy had never seen The Sound of Music.
What?
Sean McAuliffe hadn't seen 8.5, which is a Fellini film, which is maybe not big with the Triple M audience. As I was about to say, it was Fellini, so the movie we're discussing today at the festival is Back to the Future. We found somebody who has never seen Back to the Future. I think the biggest film of 1985. Absolute classic film. And Nick Cody, comedian Nick Cody, hasn't seen it.
I've got to say guilty. I haven't seen it.
You've never seen Back to the Future?
I've never seen Back to the Future.
Oh, my God. Like, it is...
It's so good.
It is a perfect film. Like some of the films we discussed, sometimes I haven't seen them before. So, you know, there's been films like in Thelma and Louise I hadn't seen before. We did Never Ending Story recently I hadn't seen. But this is this is a film that is genuinely, I think, a perfect film. Genuinely perfect film. It's got a great history about it, like what was happening behind the scenes, because they shot with an actor called Eric Stoltz for 5.5 weeks, and then they decided this is the wrong guy. And then they went back and they tried to get Michael J. Fox, who was shooting a sitcom called Family Ties at the time, and he actually shot Family Ties during the day. They put him in a camper van. He slept on the way to set to Back to the Future and shot it during the night, and then went back to Family Ties and shot it during the day. So it's just an iconic film. Sarah, you have to see Back to the Future.
Well, the Swans aren't playing this weekend, so maybe that's me. Back to the Future.
Back to the Future,
How do you, do you reverse engineer that? Do you find a comedian friend like a Judith Lucy and then ask what movie haven't you seen?
I have a list of films which I send them, and it doesn't have to be on that, but it's a good thought starter, and they come back and they say, here's three films I haven't seen before. Mm. Like, there's some people who have say, like Ed Cavalier has always said, I've seen everything. There's no film I haven't seen. I suspect that there's one or two films he hasn't seen. But Lockie Hume was hard to find a film for him. We ended up doing I blanked on what we did with him. But genuinely, there's always a film, and like it's funny the reaction that people give you when you say Judith Lucy hasn't seen Sound of Music. It's like, whoa! But it's always the same reaction. Of course, not everyone has seen every film. I mean, I'm a film lover, but there's clearly films I haven't seen. Like, you know, the fact that I hadn't seen Thelma and Louise kind of shocked me when I realised, we haven't seen that, so let's watch it. I generally approach the comedians or guests and have a list of films, and they come up with a couple.
So to plug, that's with Nick Cody tonight.
Nick Cody, and also on stage with joining us will be Charlie Pickering as well and Zoe Coombs-Ma. They've seen the film. They have absolute love for the film, but just to have a few more people on stage, it will be fun.
Nice. You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet is the show. It'd be remiss of us to not talk about Collingwood.
Yep.
One of the super fans of the Pies.
Yep.
How do you feel? Premiership hangover is just starting to ease off a little bit now that we're five rounds in.
Yeah, we've had our Barocca and... I can't believe I'm about to say that the buy couldn't come quick enough. Yeah, like at the start of the season, I was like, why do we have a buy in round 5 or 6 or 7 or whatever round it is? And going into that Hawthorn game, I was like, just win today and get to the buy, recharge. I'm okay with it. We've played very good teams. We've played, I think GWS are as good a team as going around. Sydney Swans are great. St Kilda, who knows where they're going to end up. But, you know, they played pretty good footy against us. We've had the two wins. And you saw Brisbane the other night. I feel like the season started a touch early for both Brisbane and Collingwood.
It's the shortest preseason ever.
Exactly really, right. Yeah. And I'm surprised maybe the bye didn't come quick enough. Anyway, the AFL.
If you're listening, I'm just putting that out.
Just write that one down.
Do you care though? Like, if you won the flag last year, do you care?
Adam Cooney said, he goes, mate, I was watching the St Kilda game with him. And he goes, mate, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah. This doesn't matter. You won it. Who cares? And so I hope the players aren't thinking that. But I'm sure Nick Dacos and Darcy Moore are not thinking that way. Yeah. But there is, you do approach a season a little differently, I must say, as a fan, after winning it. And I haven't watched the grand final for a little while, to be honest.
How many weeks?
Oh, it's about 3 weeks. this is one of the saddest confessions I have. I've been on TV, a lot over the years, various shows. Very rarely will watch myself back. But I've watched the grand final and pause at times to see if I can spot myself in the crowd.
And can you?
I haven't yet, Sarah. No, I haven't. I'm in the pocket in the Ponsford. If you're looking at the Ponsford end goals, I'm in the left forward pocket. And if anyone can spot me, send me a freeze frame, please. I want to know where I am in that historical moment. You know?
How many times do you think you've watched it?
I watched it twice that night. I actually didn't go out. I actually went home. We sat at the MCG for a couple of hours. Had a few beers, was getting photos of lots of people, and then went home and watched it twice. And then I reckon I've seen it fully about 10 times, and I've seen parts of it probably up to 30 times.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the mini.
I've watched the mini quite a lot. Yeah. I don't like it if you're going to do minis, show all the goals. Show all the goals, minis.
Rudy, our producer, is in furious agreement with you.
Some would refer to it as porn, and other people would watch it as the replay from last year. Hey, is your whole family Collingwood, by the way?
Yeah, my immediate family is all Collingwood. Thankfully, through luck, I had three boys who were Collingwood supporters. And but my extended and my siblings and dad and mum at Collingwood, I got a Essendon sister and cousins, a lot of Essendon cousins. So Anzac Day is always a big day. Mm. We always have a drink in the car park beforehand and then go in. And if Essendon win, we all meet back and chat about the game. If the Pies win, weirdly, the Essendon supporters don't rock up.
Funny about that.
Yeah, funny. It's weird, isn't it?
Well, thank you so much, Pete Hellier, for coming in. That's You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, the live one show only performance that you'll be doing tonight with Nick Cody.
Yeah, 4:45, Nick Cody, Charlie Pickering, Zoe Coombs-Marr, come along. Your chance to win some movie tickets as well. We're going to have a little quiz. We'll be playing for audience members. So, yeah, come along.
Awesome. Enjoy the bye. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, we'll do.
Couldn't have come quick enough. Whatever, next week. Bring it on.
Thanks, Pete. Hey, guys, it's been a fun show.
Fun show.
Is the fun going to continue into the weekend, Will?
I will try and get to the Comedy Festival another few times. But tonight I am going to be enjoying a performance of Chicago.
Because look at you.
You're a very cultured young man, William, aren't you? Which is one of my favourite musicals. Are you a musical people in terms of seeing the theatre?
I love Les Mis.
Les Mis is my favourite.
Absolutely divine.
Yes.
Jack. I'm open to it. Haven't seen a lot of them.
Yeah.
Open to it.
Chicago. So if you've got any free tickets, by all means.
We had the pleasure of Pete Rosethorn coming in on the Marty Sheargold show a couple of weeks ago, and that's how this opportunity arose. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him. I've never considered him to be someone who treads the boards. So
treads the boards.
Yeah.
What's that?
On stage.
He's got the language down pat as well.
Singing, dancing,
do you go for a little meal as well, pre or post?
Probably organise a meal. Yeah. I hadn't really thought that far ahead, to be honest. But yeah. So that's my weekend. What have you guys got on tonight?
I don't know, actually.
You've got to watch Back to the Future.
I've got to watch Back to the Future. I actually feel compelled to watch it. So maybe that is me. Jack, you're always a busy man on the weekend.
Carlton and Adelaide at 4:30 today. I'll just hang around for a couple of hours and then head into Marvel, which will be good fun. BT, Daisy, Kate, locked and loaded for Triple M footy.
What could go wrong with that crew?
Lots of Jack.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, this Saturday on Triple M. Who do you think's going to win that one?
Blues. Mm. Yeah, Blues. Port Adelaide, Freo is the interesting one. We were talking about this before, weren't we? Freo are good. Freo are really, really good from where they were last year. They've made some adjustments. They've opened their game style up a little bit. They're not as dour. They'll take it straight to the power tonight, I reckon.
Yeah, I think that's the game.
So this has been Triple M's Dead Set Legends for your Saturday. Jack, Sarah, absolute pleasure. We hope you are feeling better, Rabsy. We will see you next week.
That has been another massive edition of Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Betfair. Betfair are on your side this autumn racing. Imagine what you could be buying instead.